You are listening to a podcast from the Australian Institute of Family Studies. This podcast is part of a series of publications from the Institute's Child Family Community Australia Information Exchange. Parental involvement in preventing and responding to cyberbullying. This paper outlines definitions and statistics related to cyberbullying, differences between cyberbullying and offline bullying, and parents' roles and involvement in preventing and responding to cyberbullying incidents. The aim of this paper is to inform practitioners and other professionals of ways to help parents clarify their roles and provide them with the tools to help their teenage children engage in responsible online behavior. Key messages. There is no commonly used definition of cyberbullying, but the characteristics of a power differential, repetition of behavior, reasons for bullying, and intent to harm are all similar to traditional offline bullying. Cyberbullying is more likely to occur outside of school hours, but the behaviors often carry over from home to school and vice versa. It is unclear whether cyberbullying is more or less harmful than offline bullying. The literature indicates that some young people may underplay or deny the harm or shrug it off, but others experienced decreases in mental health. Parents play a critical role in preventing and responding to cyberbullying. Monitoring internet use and communicating with teenage children are important strategies. Efforts to encourage cyber safety need to find a balance between monitoring behaviors and allowing young people to independently and age-appropriately negotiate their own boundaries. The relationship between parents and schools is increasingly important in addressing cyberbullying and responding to incidents. Parents can be encouraged to familiarize themselves with school policy and cyber safety education initiatives, including responsible use policies. The schools that are most effective in reducing cyberbullying have excellent ongoing relationships with families and parents, and young people are actively involved in developing policy. Online bullying is a new form of an old problem, rather than a product of the technology itself. Introduction. The role that parents play in the cyber safety education of their children cannot be understated. Internet use has become virtually universal among Australian adolescents. In the 12 months prior to April 2009, 96% of 12 to 14-year-olds use the internet at home or school, and use increases with age. Alongside this is a growing recognition that Australia's long-term social and economic prosperity will increasingly rely on professionals with high-quality skills in the use of technology, as outlined in the National Digital Economy Strategy. As such, technological competence will be crucial for the children and adolescents of today, as the next generation of professionals. Young people are exposed to an increasingly open and collaborative online social culture, which allows them to access information and maintain friendships and relationships with family. There are also substantial educational and social benefits associated with engagement in online activities, such as creative content production, dissemination, and consumption. Young people are, however, at a dynamic stage of development in which risk-taking behaviors and immature decision-making capacities can lead to negative outcomes. This is evident in the growing recognition and consequences of cyberbullying. Parents' involvement in safe use of technology starts from a child's first use, and they are a critical part of ensuring their teenage children's responsible and safe use of online services as part of a whole-of-community approach to cyberbullying. This paper outlines definitions and statistics related to cyberbullying, differences between cyberbullying and offline bullying, and parents' roles and involvement in preventing and responding to cyberbullying incidents. The aim of the paper is to inform practitioners and other professionals of ways to help parents clarify their roles and provide them with the tools to help their teenage children engage in responsible online behavior. Definitions and characteristics of cyberbullying. There is a range of different definitions of cyberbullying in use, which has implications for research and policy. The Australian Parliament report of the Joint Select Committee on Cyber Safety highlights the importance of the future development of an appropriate definition for cyberbullying that is nationally consistent and includes a clear set of the consequences. For the purposes of this paper, the following definition is used. Cyberbullying is over time and includes, but is not limited to, mean, nasty, or threatening text messages, instant messages, pictures, video clips, or emails that are sent directly to a person or others via a mobile phone or the internet. One of the ways in which a definition of cyberbullying is determined is to look at its similarities and differences to offline bullying. Similar characteristics in both forms of bullying include power differential, repetition of behavior, and intent to harm. If two people of a similar status fight online, it is more likely to be cyberfighting, spreading rumors, making threats, and derogatory comments. The reasons that underpin a decision to cyberbully are often similar to reasons why offline bullying occurs. Differences between the two types of bullying include: cyberbullying is more likely experienced outside of school, where offline bullying is more likely to be experienced in school. Repetition of behavior associated with bullying can be seen to have a different meaning in cyberbullying, as the sharing of materials can continue to occur long after the incident itself. Younger students experience offline bullying more frequently than older students, but cyberbullying tends to be more common in the later years of high school. Young people who experience cyberbullying may be less likely to tell someone than if they are bullied offline. Cyberbullying is perceived as anonymous, which may work to reduce the empathy felt by the young person who is engaging in bullying behavior towards his or her targets. In reality, however, young people are most likely to be cyberbullied by people they already know. The Joint Select Committee report suggested that the anonymity associated with cyberbullying is fast becoming a fallacy, as most young people who bully online also bully offline. Young people who experience cyberbullying are less able to easily defend themselves or escape from cyberbullying, particularly as there is an infinite number of potential supporters of online bullying. Different views of adults and young people. There is a general sense within the literature that adults and young people think differently about the online and offline world. For children and young people, the online and offline world are seamless in providing a holistic arena of communication, socialization, play, research, and learning. Consequently, children and young people don't necessarily see any difference between online and offline bullying. In one study, young people describe cyberbullying simply as bullying via the internet or bullying using technology. This is further supported by the idea that many young people who perpetrate cyberbullying also engage in offline bullying, and many young people who have experienced cyberbullying have also experienced offline bullying. Location. There is often a transference and continuation of cyberbullying behaviors from home to school or vice versa, with some suggestion that more students experienced cyberbullying outside of school than in school hours. Spears et al. Described this as cyclical bullying, where not only the location, but also the type of bullying may change over time. This 24/7 nature of cyberbullying highlights the importance of parental involvement in preventing and addressing cyberbullying, in partnership with schools and possibly other youth-focused organizations. Cyberbullying statistics. The prevalence of cyberbullying is difficult to establish. Statistics vary considerably across studies due to the differences in the way that cyberbullying is defined, the age of study participants, the use of different measures of cyberbullying, and the study timeframes. With this in mind, estimates from Australian data suggest that 7-10% of Year 4 to Year 9 students had been cyberbullied over the duration of a school term. Over a 12-month period, between 10-20% of children and young people have been cyberbullied, with 10-15% of students experiencing cyberbullying more than once. 1 in 5 Australian teenagers aged 12 to 17 years received hateful messages via their mobile phone or through an internet-based medium during the current school year. European research indicates similar statistics, with 13% of young people aged 9 to 16 years reporting having received a hurtful or nasty online message within a 12-month period. European comparisons suggest that bullying online is more common in countries in which offline bullying is more common, as opposed to where the internet is more established. This supports the notion that online bullying is a new form of an old problem, rather than a product of the technology itself. Is cyberbullying more or less harmful than offline bullying? There is limited evidence at this stage to establish whether cyberbullying is more or less harmful than offline bullying. But there is an indication in the literature that young people may either underplay, minimize, or deny the harm associated with cyberbullying. A 3-year Australian study on the consequences of cyberbullying found that mental health problems, including anxiety and depression, were more prevalent for children who reported that they had been cyberbullied compared to those who had been bullied offline. However, the students in this study stated that they felt cyberbullying was not as bad as offline bullying, even though the actual results indicated that it was for this group of students. In one UK study, while young people who had experienced cyberbullying indicated that it had affected their confidence, self-esteem, and mental well-being, the most common answer for how it had affected them was not at all. However, 3/4 thought cyberbullying was just as harmful as other forms of bullying. Those who felt it wasn't harmful stated so because it was not physical and it was easier to escape. These thoughts were also reflected in the Joint Select Committee on Cyber Safety Survey. Some young people see cyberbullying as harder to avoid, whereas others see offline bullying as more so. Respondents in the Joint Select Committee on Cyber Safety Survey indicated differing reactions to cyberbullying. Some were deeply affected, some were able to shrug it off, and others did not interpret certain acts as cyberbullying. Smith et al. Indicated that the type of cyberbullying may influence the way that young people perceive the impact, with misuse of photographs and bullying using a mobile phone perceived as having the greatest impact, and chat room and email incidents having the least impact. Young people may not be aware of the harm they cause through cyberbullying, and young people who are cyberbullied may take a message or email extremely seriously, when the sender may consider it a joke or idle remark. Developmental aspects. It is important to point out that from a developmental perspective, exposure to online risk does not automatically translate to exposure to online harm. Risk-taking, rebellion, and experimentation are all characteristics of adolescent development, and risky experiences can help to develop coping strategies and resilience. It has been argued that young people with limited access to the internet and less experience of usage may in fact be more vulnerable in terms of online safety. Excessive monitoring by parents of internet use, for example, may limit development of understanding about using technologies responsibly in other contexts. An analogy is a child who holds a parent's hand every time he crosses the road, and without the opportunity to cross it alone, he may not learn to do so independently. Efforts to encourage cyber safety need to find a balance between monitoring behavior and allowing young people to independently and age-appropriately negotiate their own boundaries. Most young people have a wealth of experience in using technology and are more adept at handling situations online than is often assumed by adults. Vulnerable children and young people. There are anecdotal suggestions within the literature that children and young people who are at risk online are likely to be those at risk offline. If young people are disengaged from offline groups, they may move online to engage with others, but they may lack the skills to disengage if confronted by an inappropriate situation. The vulnerability of these young people is an under-researched area, even though their skill and knowledge level regarding technology is often low, and as such, their need for information around cyber safety is greater than other young people. The digital divide. Although statistics show that the use of the internet by adults is high and continues to rise, McGrath suggested that young people use technology in a different way to adults. Adult use tends to be for more practical or business purposes, whereas for young people, technology is a vital part of their social life and identity development. Children and young people's perception of their parents' knowledge about new technology influences the level of acceptance and value that they place on the advice offered by parents regarding online safety. In one US study of almost 812 to 17-year-olds, Teenage children whose parents were internet users considered their parents as a greater influence in online behaviors than those with parents who did not go online. There was, however, a prevailing attitude among children and young people in the Joint Select Committee on Cyber Safety survey that parents don't have a comprehensive awareness of what happens on the internet. As such, children and young people thought that parents overstated the dangers and risks of internet use. The literature also discusses the extent to which children and young people think they know more about the internet than their parents. Over 70% of 9 to 16-year-olds in one study felt that this was very true or a bit true. Being better informed than their parents led to examples in another study where at times students had needed to remind their own parents of basic cyber safety rules. How parents can help prevent and respond to cyberbullying. Quote, "Cyber safety isn't like teaching your child to ride a bike. It's not a skill that you had when you were younger and that you can pass on to your child. It's an area where things are changing so much, so quickly, that as a parent you need constant reiteration and updating and strategies to protect our children." The above section indicates the importance of parental involvement both in monitoring their children's online interactions and relationships and in communications activities when it comes to preventing and addressing cyberbullying. The strategies that parents currently undertake, or are encouraged to undertake, to prevent cyberbullying are explored in this section. Monitoring. Monitoring the internet usage of their teenage children is a strategy that is often suggested for parents, and the literature indicates that the majority of parents do engage in monitoring behaviors, at least some of the time. Monitoring behaviors include checking that sites are appropriate for their child's use, and keeping an eye on the screen, with checks more likely to occur at younger ages. In one study, most children and adolescents agreed that the amount of parental interest in their online activities is appropriate and should remain the same. Interestingly, 9 to 10-year-olds were more likely to express a desire for parents to show more interest in their internet use than older children, possibly indicating that parents should become involved in monitoring behaviors at an age younger than they expect. In this respect, it seems important to note that if parents are willing to provide access to mobile phones and computers for their children, with this access comes a responsibility to understand, role model, and communicate the fundamentals of good digital citizenship. Certain factors are seen as making it difficult for parents to monitor and manage children's internet use, including not being able to keep an eye on the screen or what the child is doing all of the time. This is especially pertinent in the age of wireless connections and internet-enabled mobile phones and access that is occurring within school time. The amounts of time children and young people spend on and the all-consuming nature of internet-related activities, children's resistance to time limits, difficulty of preventing exposure to inappropriate content, children's own control of details, and difficulty parents have in keeping up with the pace of change on the internet, particularly social networking and virtual reality sites. Suggestions for ways that parents can address some of these issues are offered in a later section of this paper. The significance of 13 years old. As part of their privacy policies, social networking sites such as Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube specify that users must be at least 13 years old, a requirement of which parents may often be unaware. However, close to half of teenagers who use social networking sites admitted to lying about their age at one time or another so they could access a website or sign up for an account. It is worth noting that there is no onus on website operators to verify the age of users. The minimum age stipulations are based on the requirements of the U.S. Congress as set out in the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act. The Act specifies that website operators must gain verifiable parental consent from parents prior to collecting any personal information from a child younger than 13 years old. As such, social networking sites such as Facebook avoid this requirement by setting a minimum age of use at 13 years old. O'Keefe et al. Have called for efforts for this age limit to be better respected, and it is suggested that educating parents about the age limit may be one worthwhile step towards this end. Communication. Two important factors in addressing cyberbullying once it has occurred are the willingness for a child or young person to tell a parent about cyberbullying incidents and the parent's capacity to respond appropriately. In the Joint Select Committee on Cyber Safety Survey of children aged 9 to 15 years old, between 25% to 65% of respondents who had been cyberbullied, depending on age, had told an adult or family member about the cyberbullying. The most likely group to tell an adult or family member was 9 to 12-year-old females, and the least likely were 13 to 15-year-old males. Similarly, Green et al. Found that for children who identified as having been cyberbullied, one in three parents were unaware. There is a strong indication that young people are less likely to tell an adult about cyberbullying if they think that, as a result, their access to technology will be limited. Parents need alternative strategies in responding to cyberbullying rather than restricting their teenagers' use of technology, and need to communicate that restrictions will not be enforced if cyberbullying does occur. Identifying and responding to incidents of cyberbullying. It may be difficult for parents to know if a child has experienced cyberbullying. Some of the indicators may be similar to offline bullying, such as changes in mood or behavior, an increase in physical health problems, changes in friendships, difficulty sleeping, and wishing to avoid school or extracurricular activities. If these indicators are present, parents can be encouraged to communicate their concerns to the child and offer their support and ask the child what they would like to do about it. Where a cyberbullying incident has occurred, the parent should report the incident to the school as soon as possible and ask for and accept help from the school, whether the child is engaging in the bullying behavior, is being bullied, or has been a witness to bullying. In recognition of the flow of cyberbullying between school and home, communication and relationships between parents and school personnel are critically important. Young people can also be encouraged to take action against incidences of cyberbullying, and there are a number of models that suggest a set of steps to respond, including the following stop, block, tell approach. Stop the correspondence immediately. Take a deep breath and avoid responding, which can make the situation worse. Block the user from sending additional emails or messages. Tell a parent or trusted adult about the situation. Further information and strategies can be accessed via the resources suggested at the end of this paper. Parents and schools together. As mentioned previously, the relationship between parents and schools is a critical aspect of addressing cyberbullying. Parents can be encouraged to inquire about the strategies that schools undertake to educate children and young people about cyber safety and cyberbullying, and the ways in which they involve parents in cyberbullying initiatives and in developing cyberbullying policies. In one review of school approaches to cyber safety in the UK, the best schools were seen as having excellent relationships with families that were continually developed. Parents also actively worked together with senior school leaders, governors and staff to develop strategies for cyber safety. One of the main strategies used by schools in Australia is the responsible or acceptable use policies that both parents and students are required to sign. Responsible use policies should be unambiguous, and clear consequences for inappropriate behaviours should be spelled out in the policy. Schools are increasingly recognizing that cyberbullying is more likely to happen outside of rather than in school. As a result, there is an increased trend for schools to be prepared to take responsibility for what happens outside school hours to ensure continuity of care. The South Australian Department for Education and Child Development, for example, has explicitly recognized this responsibility by stating clearly in their policy document, Cyber Safety, Keeping Children Safe in a Connected World, that any cyberbullying incident should be treated as a behaviour management issue and dealt with via relevant school policy, even if the incident occurred outside of school hours. The literature also indicates that while there is evidence that cyberbullying and cyber safety programs increase young people's awareness, there is limited evidence to show that they lead to behaviour changes. While parents may be aware that schools run such programs, they also need to be mindful of and engage in discussion with children about the ways in which they can practice these skills online. Summary. The following points that have been raised in this paper can guide practitioners in supporting parents to play a role in preventing and addressing cyberbullying. Parents can increase their knowledge and become more adept at the use of technologies being used by their children. Learning alongside children and young people can be an effective way to achieve this. Parents can be encouraged to let their children be the experts and help them understand the tools that they are using online. Build a contextualized understanding of the importance of technology in children and young people's lives, including contemporary online friendships and peer groups. Take an active role in discussing the benefits of online engagement and how to respond to cyberbullying and other negative online behaviors with children, framed in a discussion about good cyber citizenship. Develop an online use plan in partnership with other family members, which includes details of appropriate online topics, privacy setting checks, and any inappropriate posts that have occurred on online profiles. Children and young people need the same moral and ethical guidance and clear, appropriate boundaries as they do offline. Be aware of the strategies undertaken by their children's school to prevent and address cyberbullying, and support these strategies at home. Inform themselves of the details of their children's school's responsible use policies and the rights and responsibilities of the school to take action if behavior occurs outside of school hours. Children and parents should be actively involved in cyberbullying policy development. Encourage young people aged less than 13 years old to abstain from using social networking sites, creating a user account for Facebook or YouTube, including an explanation as to why this is important. Engage in open discussion and communication about online monitoring, as opposed to relying solely on filtering tools. Proactively and regularly assess cyber safety resources designed for parents to help in becoming familiar with emerging technologies and online trends. Cyberbullying parent education initiatives are currently being trialled in Australia. An example is the Cyber Friendly Parents Project, conducted by the Child Health Promotion Research Centre at Edith Cowan University, that responds to an expressed need for parents to better understand and help their children use social networking services safely. A pilot test of the resources showed positive results, with most parents responding that the resources used in the program improved their skills, understanding, and self-efficacy to respond to cyberbullying. Programs such as these, if successfully replicated, will be important additions to parent support in the area of cyber safety and cyberbullying. This paper was written by Ali Robinson, Manager of the Child, Family, Community Australia Information Exchange at the Australian Institute of Family Studies, and was published in June 2012. Please visit our website at www.aifs.gov.au/CFCA for publication references, resources and further reading for parents, downloads, acknowledgements and comments.